Savior of surrender to you, Jesus. Do I have any worshipers on here on the line today?
Everything I give
bow down
to you.
The key is alive.
Withholding nothing.
Oh, worship.
Withholding nothing.
The Lamb of God.
Lord, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. Lord, I surrender. Withholding nothing,
I hold nothing back from you.
Withholding nothing, I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
I give myself away.
I give myself away.
So you.
I give myself away. I give myself.
Can you give yourself away today? Oh, I know you did it yesterday because of new.
I give myself
new elevation, new position.
So
of obedience.
I give myself away.
Let me be a living sacrifice.
I surrender.
I surrender. Come on, surrender all.
Everything I give.
I give. We live in a nation that seems to want to turn its back on God, but there's a people who are crying out and saying, I'm not after the blessings, I'm not after the things, I'm after the presence of God. Because when you get God, you get everything else that you need. All I want is you, Lord. You can seek after things but miss God. But if you seek after God, the things will come. All I want. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm desperate for you.
Heavenly Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for the opportunity to bow before you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that in your presence, Lord, there is fullness of joy, Lord. And we just celebrate you right now, Heavenly Father God, as we press to another position, as we get obstacles out the way and surrender our all to you. Lord, we want to be used by you today to be better disciples. Lord, we want to be used by you today to be clearer in our understanding. Lord, we want to be you better used by you in our wisdom, our knowledge, and our understanding to get more wisdom, wisdom and understanding to share your love. So, Lord, be magnified today in agreement. Be magnified today. Be glorified today in agreement, Lord. Be highly lifted up today in agreement that our words are acceptable to you, Heavenly Father God, that our words have consequences and they have results, Heavenly Father God. So we thank you that you bring us before your altar to clean up, to correct and do better than from what we used to be. So we honor you today that your characteristics are in place. We honor you today that your struggle is sitting before us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your sacrifice has already been done. But today we stand new creations in Christ with our own struggle, with our own cross, and with our own ability to follow you. So, Lord, have your way. We release your anointing. We release all of our interests, all of our agendas, all of our own wills, we put them on the altar now and say, not our will, but your will be done. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement said, amen. Ooh, glory be to God. Welcome, family. This is Pressing Over the Hump with Pastor E, and we are continuing our series on the power of words and the effects. The power of words and the effects. And I know you're building your journal, but in this time here on the Now Network and through P2P Ministries and our covenant partners, we cannot start any broadcast without identifying we are in Resurrection Week. And I want to pinpoint this season. Remember, we just stepped over into the what? Second quarter. And we've crossed over. So we've already completed some things. Some of us, even myself, had to go back and tweak a couple of things that should have been done in excellence. And for whatever reason, for whatever excuse, forgiveness and repentance has been put. Boy, we're in the second quarter now. And wow, we're talking about words and the power they hold. But also, we're in the first stretch of quarter two with the resurrection. Now, a lot of people, and it's just a historical thing, but on this time of the year, we're talking about Easter eggs and we're talking about Jesus, and then which you can't do anything without him. But I'm gonna make a point here and making it like Jesus is back on the cross and like Jesus is going to be buried again and like Jesus is going to get up again. Let me clarify this here on this network. That will never happen again. The sacrifice that was paid for you and me will never be repeated. The next coming of the Lord is to get to retrieve his children. But he will not go through that pain, that suffering, that anguish, that disrespect, that dishonor, and that disconnection from the Father and the Holy Ghost. That will not happen again. So I don't really like to even celebrate that, because in this hour, if you are being resurrected in Christ, as we talked about Monday, being crucified with him. Yesterday, we talked about walking the road of Calvary with him. Today, we want to talk about the power of those words that bring death, and not death to the spirit, but death to the flesh. The words that keep us still bound by the things of this world, that we really haven't been resurrected, because when you're resurrected, you're no longer what you used to be. You come out with that glory of God. And now you understand Luke 9:23. I understand Luke 9:23 when he says, if anyone, oh, I know a bunch of hands went up, but if anyone desires to follow me, Jesus is telling us direct in this hour that every day, all day, this is the sacrifice and this is the work that we must put forward. If anyone desires to follow me, let him first deny himself. What's denying yourself? I shared this earlier. Denying yourself is fixing your past, getting rid of the old. And now, watch this, committing to never go back. Remember last week we talked about the place of no return? That place I'll never go back to. I know what it looks like. Believe me, because it's not one but 1 second away if I make a decision to go backwards. But that's how desperate we must be. And yes, there's a restart, a new resurrection every time that this season comes around. Because yes, I'm celebrating what he did for me. But don't you know, if you don't know the effects of the cross, if you don't know the pain, if you don't know the price that was really paid by experiencing it, it's just another story. It's just another celebration. It's just another Easter egg hunt or another barbecue dinner. Oh yeah, a new outfit and all those things. I grew up in the Baptist church, so I know how the religious things continue to go. But now we are new creations in Christ. And in this series of the power of God's word, it starts with my mouth. Now, watch this. Somebody say, well, I don't say that. I don't talk like that anymore. If you'd have been on Wake Up, Get Up, Move in Your Purpose this morning, you'd have seen that it's not the words of your mouth. It's the words in your mind. What are you saying in your mind? What spirit is in your mind? Oh, yeah, you're better at not saying those things. They don't get out anymore because you've trained yourself to nobody can know that about me anymore. But what is up in your mind is the most important thing, because the mind is where Christ dwells, and we want the place that Christ dwells to be what? Holy and acceptable. So the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable unto God. Oh, when? Right now. I need my words to be effective, just as well as you do. So I'm in my resurrection stage of now. Look, it takes strength. It takes nerves. It takes re-energizing to take up daily your cross. Because he says, first, when you deny yourself, that's when you die of yourself. And he now lives in you as you live in him. Because now here comes the work. He says, take up your cross. He didn't say go get up there and get, because you got your own road to Calvary. You got your own situation in the spirit that you must, ooh, you must experience it. To say, this tear that just ran down my eyes, I'm speaking to you. And I'm not overblowing this. This is how passionate I am about this. But the tear that just rolled down my cheek was because of the courtyard. When they put the crown of thrones on his head and twisted it and blood ran down his face. See, that experience says I'll never go back, because the little stuff I had going on don't even compare to this. And then to take that journey, to experience that journey, now I can be crucified with Christ. Paul said it, Galatians 2:20. I have, not I will be, not I'm going to be. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but he who lives in me. See, the question is, who's living in me? Who's living in you? Because what's in you is what's coming out. Now, someone says, now you just said, I don't say that no more. You had me right on the knot. Yes, you do. But the spirit in your mind still going to get out there, and it wants to perform itself. There's not a spirit out there that's not, does not have a purpose to be performed, good or bad. Now, it's up to you to choose. Nothing's forced on us. We have the spirit of choice in your mind to make the right decision. See, those words must be fulfilled in your mind so you can make the right decisions. You're not questioning God anymore because you're full of his word. And when you fill yourself with the word, there's nothing else that can come out but the word. But now, my thoughts are thoughts of God, of God, because what? It wasn't me that writ the word on me. It was God. Hebrews 1, write this down in your journal, in your notes. Hebrews 1, 3 through 12. It says, God writes laws in your mind when you spend time with him. See, that's taking action. That's meditating. That's living. That's keeping his word. Reference Psalms 119. Verse 15, 18, but I'd read that whole, you know, I read that this morning in my personal worship time. I read again, Psalms 119, the whole chapter. Oh my God, Revelation, because I had to deal with some Proverbs coming over and teaching, wake up, get up and move in your purpose to go to the next level in God. Oh my God. Remember we shared last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives light. Because it's not, watch this, the law of the world, but it's the law of the spirit. Because watch this, Hebrews 10:15, it says, laws in the heart will cause them to want to obey. As I said, the more you put in, you won't want to go back. See, we've already set the standard because I am in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away, but it just fade away. I went back and I got a count. And I rectified my past. So now I can step into Jesus, holy and acceptable in his sight, not conformed to the world, but by the renewing what? Of my mind, of Romans 12:2. But my words, your words, have to be his words. And they have to, watch this, it can't be anything that describes you. Every word out your mouth must be how glorious God can be to the next person. Because he's no respecter person. High five. He's doing for you what he's doing for me. He'll do for you what he's doing for me when we agree and when we're in line with the word of God. See, the Holy Spirit teaches the mind of God and his secrets. See, if you're unsaved, God's words are foolish. 1 Corinthians 2:19-16. Write that down. The Holy Spirit teaches the mind of God and his secrets. And you know what? And then by studying, remember in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said, this is for all to comprehend the width, the depth, the height, and all things and got together. It wasn't for anyone, but we must be on one accord with God's word. Is it the truth to you? I ask this question all the time. Have you really committed to the word of God being truth in your life. I mean, really committed to it. Oh, high five, sister. I got you. High five, brother. Look, dap on this, homie. I see you on there. I don't even have to question. I already knew you were just throwing it back at me. But I see some numbers not even familiar to me today. Is the word of God truth to you? Because if it's not, that's starting point. You know, a lot of times you hear me say, well, we got a starting kit. The starting kit is you have to believe. You have to believe everything God has said and has done is true. Done, period. Before you can ever go into the revelation of having a relationship with him, because doubt, fear, worry will not allow me to believe, because now the truth has not set me free. See, and the truth is what? The word of God. It always goes back to the word of God. Even from the garden, remember? The words that were spoke to Eve transferred to Adam by what she had not been given knowledge to. Believe me, I say this all the time. Adam was the one God told in the garden. He walked, he talked with him. Then he said, it's time for him. I'm going to make you a helpmate. Now, it's not in the script, but I believe in my spirit, because if God would have walked with Eve, it would have said it. He walked and talked with Adam. He gave Adam dominion over everything. And when he gave him his helpmate, the helpmate was supposed to go through the same crash course training that he got from God. Something dropped in the system. Words that were not familiar to her. She heard them before she heard the right word, and she made the wrong decision. And then now we are in the place we're in. Because remember, when God called them, Genesis chapter 3, read the whole chapter, but around 11, when God called them, what'd they do? They hid. Why? Because they had now seen nakedness. Things they had been walking around doing their thing all this time. And now all of a sudden you notice you're naked. But then he didn't say nothing about that. He said, he didn't say, why are you naked? Because God knew all along they were made in his image. He says, who told you? See, the words you let people tell you will affect the rest of your life. You say, well, I ain't paying attention to that. If you keep listening to it, brother or sister, that will affect your life. Those words carry spirits. The words are spirits. And those spirits are going to get out one way or another. Now, you say, as I was sharing earlier, you just say wrong things in your mind. You don't let nobody, you don't speak out about anybody. I told you before, when it comes out your mouth, that's in the past. The now thought is in your mind. Your thoughts in your mind determine the outcome of your life and others. Now watch this. I said this. Spirits carry. And those spirits in your mind of anger and unforgiveness and retaliation, those spirits, they have no other reason but to perform themselves. And they're going to get out your mind, because I said this morning, it was funny. Somebody close to you, all of a sudden they acting just like you was thinking. You're like, where'd that come from? How you gonna come at me like that? But that was just how you was thinking about a situation. You just didn't do it. I'm telling us today that our thoughts are more powerful than our actions. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not as a man do, not as a man feel, but as a man thinketh. See, the thought process is the beginning of everything. And why he's so prolific about the mind of Christ being in you, about not being conformed to the world's thinking, but being transformed into the God's thinking. It's the starting point, and knowing that these words have to be important, and they have to be solid on the foundation of God. Oh, not my word, but your will. Not my will, word, excuse me, but your word. Speak your word through me. You know, death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. And we can find him right now. You don't have to wait. Right, you can find him right now by his word. I'm looking for God. Are you in his word? God showed up. If you got his word in you, God is here. Jesus is in you when his word is in you. No doubt about it. The more word you put in, the more Jesus comes in you. The more you worship him, the more the word revelates. And you start to have your own revelation. Whoa, that word was for me. And I'm preaching to me right now. But guess what? I'm probably hitting home with everybody, a lot of other people on this broadcast today, because we just alike. When we really put it all down and we say, it's not me who lives, but he who lives, we just alike. The same things that we need to do, we all in agreement. We have the same thoughts, the same struggles, those same voices, all that stuff. You ain't crazy, homeboy, homegirl. I got the same thing I battle with daily. I don't think that no more, homie. Don't come with that thought. In every instance, there's a negative thought. But because of the word that's in me, I can now resist. It flees right away. It's not a battle. I have to go. I need a minute, y'all. Immediately. You don't even know it. Still, I'm preaching right now, dealing with some words, trying to make me say my own business up in here instead of saying the word of God, which is love, which is virtue, which is knowledge, which is self-control, which is perseverance, which is godliness, and which is compassion. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous in your word. Because a pleasant word is health. It produces, it reproduces, it reproduces, it reproduces, just like a negative word destroys, destroys, destroys. There's no in between. Oh, I didn't mean it that way. Yes, it came out that way. People take it that way. And if I'm not going to watch my words and how I deliver them, that no one can be offended. See, I got to deal with me and my words, not you telling me about me or anybody else. I know how the pleasantness of God's word. Because I got to think on some things. Y'all remember Philippians 4:8? Think on these things with a true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and good. When your mind is on those attitudes right there, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. I'm going to share one of my principles that we do in our seminar. You know, we always saying, you know, you got to cut some things off, man. You got to stop, you know, you got to do this. We teach it in this manner here. You ain't got to get mad at nobody. You don't even have to put your mouth out and say anything in anger. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to tell them what's going on. The number one thing that we encourage people to do, don't worry about what you got to get rid of. Worry about what you got to get into. And when you give it all to God, oh, my God, and you really experience this walk, this talk, and the action of Jesus Christ, everything else will be shaken off. Folks will just leave. They'll leave you alone. They won't come around. Your phone won't get those invites at 10 o'clock to go out at 11 because they already know you just gotten home from church and you saying, why you didn't go to Friday Night Live? Why you didn't go to the gathering? Why you didn't go to the church? Why weren't you at the church? I was at the church. We might have been able to go out and have dinner, but you wanted to now call me and I know what kind of a dinner club you want to go to. People will stop calling because they already know what they're going to get. And they already know the lifestyle you're living. We don't have to be harsh in our words. We don't have to be in anger. We do not have to be disrespectful. As a matter of fact, we cannot. We have to be pleasant. And it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So instead of telling somebody, look, I can't, me and you just ain't, no, all you got to do is just do you and God and watch God will take care of the rest. But maybe just once if we try it this way, a lot more will come and follow Jesus because they ain't following us. Because he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw what? All men unto me. A lot of us been lifting ourselves up and expecting to be big congregations and this and this. No, it's Christ who must be lifted up. But if it's not by the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, if I haven't made a transference on how I speak the word of God in truth, then I'm just trying to deal with me instead of dealing with the word of God. We're going to end this today on this one today. If you could turn your Bible. I know I gave you a lot of scriptures. But if I could get you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, we're only going to read 7 verses. And then I'm going to release you today. We got the gathering Bible study at 12:30. If you're in the Compton, Los Angeles area and you want to continue worshiping with us, come on out to Sylvia Nunn's Angels at the Community Center. We every Wednesday, we getting it down for Jesus by preaching the word of God. But in chapter 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Watch this. See, there's only one way or another. You see, there was no in between, like soft answer turns away wrath. But if you said it this way, they might take it. They might not take it that way. It says a soft answer turns away wrath. So you don't mean to tell me if I need to get something that's mad, that's that's angry or evil away from me. All I have to do is speak a what? Soft answer. It will turn away wrath. See, most of us, we answer with an attitude. We answer with our own agenda. We answer with our own thoughts. And then the harsh word stirs up anger. And then all of a sudden, it was just the way you said it, the way I said it, that stirred up anger. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So nothing's hidden. but if you notice, there was no in-between there. The gray area, the in-between, the fence area, he says the eyes of the Lord are every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. See, it's no middle place. You're either one or the other. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Don't you know sometimes you could tell somebody about themselves too many times? I even tell you, stop telling people about themselves. Deal with you. And then people will see through you how God used you to get you right, that you can now say, I was trying to just say all along, I'm doing what God told me to get right. But you have to do what God told you to do to get right. There's no in between. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. Sometimes we can just pray for some. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. I got a word for you. It's the same word. That's too much. A word, first of all, spoken should be confirmed. I say this all the time. You cannot call me, Pastor, I got a word for you. And I'll be like, okay. First of all, I would have knew you were calling because I know I'm anticipating an answer to that word. That's when you have a relationship with the word. But I still listen. And then they'd be like, that wasn't up. No, I ain't heard that in my prayer. I ain't heard that in my worship time. That's not confirming through his word. Well, you know, okay, well, maybe he or she'll come back later and it'll match up. But I'd be like, okay, high five, boom. And guess what? I don't draw to it. I don't fantasize about it because a word from God is the word that's in you. That word that's in you will confirm in you. So when someone gives you a word, it's going to be leaping up in you already. You'll see the person and be like, oh, Lord, there it is, confirmation. I done said many things on this broadcast and people that did flips and turnarounds in their chair, even at work, almost broke their phones just by the confirmation of how it was said and when it was said, now that they just received the same word from God. Because God wants to bless you just like he wants to bless me, but it must be on one accord. Watch this. Oh, verse 5. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he who receives correction is prudent. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. See, where's our heart at? That goes back to number one. No, get your hand off your chest. Your heart is in your head, as a man thinketh in his heart. Think, what do you think with? Your mind, your brain. So is he. And are we allowing the word of God to penetrate us, that the word is holy in us. So now we can really operate in true holiness, in true righteousness, in true pleasing in his sight. See, because I say this, that it's not trusting God, because God is all. It's can he trust us? Don't turn left, don't turn right, stay focused, press to the end. God has a call. God has a purpose for you in his word. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this opportunity today in Pressing Over the Hump, the series on the power of words and the effects. Here in week 2, we thank you, Lord, that even working through the resurrection week, even going to the next level in you, Heavenly Father, God, that we continue to do better in you. Everything we do is that you can be honored by others. Everything we do is that someone will come to you as their personal Lord and Savior. Everything we do is that you are highly lifted up. And everything we do is to prepare ourselves for the place that you have prepared us for. So, Lord, be magnified, glorified, lifted up. We will not leave this place the same today. We are changed. We are rearranged. And most of all, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. In Christ Jesus' name's sake, we pray. Amen. God bless you, family.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.